I'll obviously read the part that says Ming, and please read the part that says people. Loving Father, we thank you for giving us the wonderful circle of friends that we have. Thank you, Lord, for they have shown so much love, and we are truly grateful for their friendship. Lord, we praise your holy name for blessing us with such amazing friends. We love you, Father. Amen. All right, next we'll have our scripture reading, and it'll be coming from John 15, verses 12 through 16. Follow along in your inserts on your bulletin or on the screen. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Let's turn this time over to Pastor Tim.
Thank you, Brother Ming, and for leading us in, as an MC, and thank you to Chris and our praise band for this wonderful time of reflection and music and worship. I hope you are doing okay. Doing okay? I came in today and I felt like everyone seemed a little bit tired. Maybe it's the worn downness of summer, you know, the fun of vacationing and all the uncertainties of what we're going to do this summer. But it's great to see all of you, and I want to welcome all of you to our new sermon series this summer. This entire summer, leading up to our retreat, we're going to be discussing and sharing about friendships, different aspects of friendships, of Christian friendships, and hopefully through this you'll find some practical ways of improving our emotional intelligence, if you want to call it that, our ability to make friends, because friendship is really, really a complicated and very messy subject, and it's very difficult to experience, but it's also very joyful and cool and fun. Let me ask you off the top of your right now, how many of you have more than 50 Facebook friends? That is by show of hands. Raise them high. I want to see. Okay. How many of you have more than 100? I should have gone the other way around. Let's go backwards. How many of you have more than 500 Facebook friends? How many of you have less than 50 Facebook friends? All right. Wow. There is one person. Are you sure? I guess some of this is generational, right? And how many of you have ever unfriended people before? Oh, really? Okay, that's cool. So sometimes you do that. Okay. As you know, this past week, Great Britain has unfriended the European Union. So we all know that there are some consequences of that action. I hope and pray that's not horrible for all of us in the future. But keep on praying for that situation. But this thing about friendship is really complicated. As I said before, we all want friends. And we all want to be friends, but very often it's very difficult to discern and decide how it works. We sometimes get emotional because our friends don't do what we expect, and vice versa. So what I hope we'll learn through this summer series is just some basics about what makes Christian friendships unique and different. And as a Christian, what kind of foundation do we have? Who do we follow, and what do we look at as our guide for Christian friendships, which I believe are the most authentic and the most deep and the most satisfying friendships that one can have. But if we don't know what it is, then it's hard to figure it out. So today, what I want to do is I'm going to have a very short presentation about some basics, our foundations for Christian friendship, and then in the weeks ahead, Chris and I will be looking at different aspects of friendships, like how do you have a friendship that leads to marriage? Right? That's one very important one. How do you have friends? How do you make friends? What are things that hinder people from having authentic friendships? Are topics like can you be a friend and be married? Can you be married to your friend? And that's a really tricky one, right? And so on and so forth. So please stick with us. We're not going to be really packing it up with content. It'll be hopefully a lot more give and take and some activities for us to do here, right here in worship service. Okay, so let's see what we can do today. One of the questions that that happens. When I talk to people, some people I know who are in Canaan or maybe have left recently, this is what they have said to me. I have better friends outside my church than inside my church. Have you ever heard people say that? Any of you? Don't be, it's okay. Yeah, there goes a, oh, okay, I see a number of us. Like, be honest, it's true. I have to say that I sometimes feel that way too. Well, you know, so sometimes it feels like the friends outside our church are better to us and we like them better, they like us better than the friends inside the church. And that, I think, is a stunning double indictment. Or a indictment with a double-edged sword. Because on the one hand, I think it's true that all churches have to deal with this reality. We can blame the church because the church is filled with imperfect people. And we, and in the church, really should strive to create a better environment where authentic friendship should develop, right? I think that part is true. As a church, in your fellowship groups, it's up to you, as a believer, to try to create an environment where real friendships can grow. Otherwise, there will always be people who will feel like they're better friends outside church than inside church. Okay, I'm not saying more friends, because I have more friends outside of Canaan than I do inside. Do you guys want to guess how many Facebook friends I have? Yes. Higher. Keep going. Say that again? 3,000? I wish. No, it's half that. I have about 1,500 Facebook friends. All right, I'm new to Facebook compared to most of you, so it's pretty cool. But my point here is that I do have more friends outside of Canaan than inside of Canaan. So it's not about how many friends we have, it's quality friendships. And if we have too many people say to us that I have better friends outside of Canaan than I have inside Canaan, I think we as a church, each of our ministries needs to take notice and work on that. So that's the one edge. There's something that we have to take responsibility for as a body here, as a youth fellowship, as a young adult fellowship, as a marriage fellowship, or as a small group. On the other hand, the person who makes this statement may genuinely misunderstand what authentic friendship means. Maybe this person expects Christians to behave in a way that's unrealistic, that's so idealistic that no one can humanly fulfill that expectation. So in either case, the goal this summer is to balance the scales a bit. And in the end, I hope that all of my Christian friends can be viewed as my most real and authentic friends. That you can say this, that all your Christian friends, whether in Canaan or not, are truly, really authentic and genuine. And that's the goal for each of us this summer, okay? So let me go to some questions. I don't know why I put this up here, but basically it's to remind you that this theme fits under the first love theme for the year, and we just got through a whole sermon series about loving one another, the mutuality commands. So I want to say this, that the part about friendship really is the foundation for truly loving each other. Because we can come to this church and everyone can serve and do all kinds of activities, but if we don't feel like we have good friends in this church, it's really hard to feel the love as well. So I hope that this underscores the importance of that friendship is really critical here. We need to make good friends in the church and make authentic friendships, okay? And otherwise, the experience of love won't be as real. Okay, so let's take a look at what Christian friendship is all about. And what I want to do here is just look at the passage that Ming read for us from John chapter 15. And hopefully this will help us differentiate what authentic Christian friendship is from other forms of friendship. Okay, I think that ordinary friendship is cool, but a Christian understanding of friendship makes it more authentic and real. And that's what I hope that you will see as we look at John chapter 15 again. And to remind yourself that if we have real friendship in the church, that becomes a fuel for you to serve and love each other in the church and to strive to maintain our first love with God. Without good friends in church, without authentic friends, or with Christian friends, we lose the desire. We lose the drive, we lose the energy to continue to follow Jesus Christ. So that's why this is so important. Let's review the scripture today, and we can see how Jesus transforms ordinary friendships into authentic, genuine Christian friendships. In the passage that Ming read for us, I just put it up there. I'm not going to read it over again, but I just want to say a few points that I hope will make sense with you, okay? So just let me know. Now, in verse 12, the very first verse, my command is this, to love one another. And then I didn't include verse 17, but this whole passage ends with the same thing, love one another. So friendship is about loving one another. So I just wanted, that's the first point, it's all connected to each other. Friendship actually is a foundation for love. And we've been repeating this message all year long, so I don't have to keep going on and on. But the rest of the passage here, I think, at least from this first reading of it, I think there are four key definitions of authentic friendship that Jesus is trying to explain to us. And it ties in with our relationship with God as well. So in verse 13, we're told, Jesus says that the greatest love that anyone can have is to lay down one's life for one's friends. So the first and most basic definition of authentic friendship is a willingness to die for one another. A willingness to sacrifice oneself on a daily basis, to make personal sacrifices, often painful sacrifices for one another. So an authentic friend is someone who will be willing to do that for you, and you are willing to do that for the other person. Okay? How many people can you think of that you're willing to make personal sacrifices on a daily basis for because you are that person's friend? How many? Yeah, go ahead. Oh, you're showing me in numbers? Four? Okay. Yeah, four is pretty cool. That's a good number. Okay. Yes. You have five. Okay, all right. So who can top five? It's a contest. No, I'm just kidding. But it's true. It's very hard to find friends that you love so much that you're willing to lay down and sacrifice yourself for. But the first definition is a friend, a real authentic friend is someone that you will do that for and vice versa. Okay, the second definition found in this passage is this. Friendship is about following and obeying Jesus' commands in verse 13, right? 14. Jesus says right there, you are my friends, we're Jesus' friend if you do what I command. So how does this apply to our friendships with one another? Well, as Christian friends, we are mutually following Jesus Christ. You and I are trying to follow and obey him, okay? So therefore, friendship here is about learning how to together follow Jesus Christ. We are accountable to following Jesus Christ together. So that's a second definition of authentic Christian friendship, is that we're following and obeying Jesus together. Okay? Very simple, but it's also very hard. Because what happens, like as I shared last week, what happens if one of our authentic friends starts to stray and stop following Jesus? Then we need to do something about that, right? But if we're truly genuine friends, we are together trying to obey and follow Jesus' command. And in verse 15, there's a third definition. The definition is this, that friendship is more than blind obedience. Actually, it's not just simply obeying Jesus' command blindly. Friendship, according to Jesus, is about transparency. It's about being open. So what Jesus shows us in his friendship with us is that he shows us who God is. He shows us who God the Father is and what God the Father wants. Servants, for example, are not the shareholders of a company. If you work for a company and you're a servant or you work there, you're not the shareholder. But Jesus is kind of saying this, that all of you in my Father's company are no longer just my servants, you are my shareholders. You know what's going on. You know what's the stuff that's what my Father's trying to do. This is what we're doing together. Okay, so because we are friends, we're not servants. We're not merely servants. We are also shareholders. So we know what God wants. We know God's business. And likewise, the same thing applies to our friendships with each other. We are investors in one another. Okay, we're not servants or just contacts. Our networks, people that we're closer, we are transparent, we're willing to show our vulnerabilities with one another, and because we are all in the same company called Canaan, right? We're sharing an investment of our time with Canaan and with each other. All right, so the third definition is simple. We are shareholders. There is transparency among shareholders because we know we are part of this company. We work together for the benefit of the company and for each other. The fourth and final definition is this. Christian friendship has a purpose and a goal. Jesus said that he chose us to bear fruit. We are chosen by God for a purpose and a mission. And the purpose, as according to Jesus here, is to bear lasting fruit and to inherit God's kingdom. So whatever we ask, God will provide because we are his heirs. We are children of his kingdom. So any child who asks his father for inheritance will get it, right? Because you're not a servant, you're a child, right? Well, maybe some parents won't give you stuff, but the Father gives us his kingdom. So that's pretty cool. So therefore, we have a purpose. We have a purpose to bear fruit and to inherit God's kingdom. So those four points, again, let me just review them in very simple terms. Authentic Christian friendship, according to this passage, can be interpreted this way: personal sacrifice, obedience to Christ, transparency, and bearing fruit. Okay? All right, so if you look at your friendships with each other, and you see that these are some characteristics of your friendships with each other, then I think it moves you towards a more authentic way of being a Christian friend. All right, so think about it a little bit, because we're going to do some exercises later to work on this, okay? All right, so I know it may be hard to envision, but we will get some application soon. So, that's why over the weekend, I don't know how many of you are part of our Canaan Facebook page. And any of you are not on that page, by show of hands? Yeah, a few of you, okay? If you have a Facebook account, please sign up and join our Canaan Facebook page. That is a page where a lot of us put our resources, and we try to have some discussion, not too much discussion, but we put stuff up there. So I posted this week a survey, our inventory, called Your Friendship Potential. Okay, Your Friendship Potential's Inventory. And this is designed to help you gauge what kind of friend you are, how good of a friend you are, how authentically a friend you can be. You can just go on to canaanem.org as well, and the most recent update blog contains this inventory. It's a PDF file. You can download it and then print it out and fill it out. You circle answers, and then you tally up your score. You can give yourself a score of what is your friendship potential? How good a friend can you be? Okay, so the best way to get authentic friends is to be one. So that's why this survey is important. If you get a chance to fill it out, you can get a sense of what kind of good friend you can be. Instead of just constantly asking, can I get a friend, can you be a friend? That's a tougher question, isn't it? All right, so I invite you to fill it out and check it out. And then the survey is on canaanem.org, and it's also on the Facebook page as well. So from this survey, you can identify some aspects of what authentic friendship is. And according to Jerry and Mary White, who wrote a book that Chris and I are speaking from called Friends and Friendship, there's these certain characteristics of authentic friendship. And they are people who love each other, who have deep sharing. You know what deep sharing is? What is deep sharing? When I'm really, really wrestling with my parents who I just think are not being fair with me, I can talk to somebody, and that person will be very kind and will support me and will listen deeply. I'm really interested in that girl, but who do I talk to about these feelings? Deep sharing is about getting down to those places where we're afraid to talk to other people about, but we have a friend and someone who will listen and talk to us. Okay, self-sacrifice, I mentioned that before. Encouragement, stimulation. Now that's a good one, because I feel like it can be misunderstood. It means a person who is not just you'll sit down there and do nothing, but a real good friend will actually say, "Hey, let's do something together. Let's try to do this. Let's try to think about this idea. Have you read this book? Have you heard about that blog?" A person who is a real friend will not just allow you to be a lump on a log, but will also want to stimulate you so that you can enjoy life a little bit more, or live life and engage things in life. Spiritual challenge, that's the accountability part. Loyalty, a person who will not what's the word for it? Will not just turn his back on you or her back on you in front of other people. And fun. Okay, so those are some characteristics that if you fill out this survey, you can get a sense of where you fit on these categories of friendships. And authentic friendship, according to this chart from the Whites, is built on time and effort. You can never develop close friends unless you put the time and effort into it. And that is true. I don't even think I have to say any more about that. If you don't take time out and make effort, the friendships will never get that deep. But finally, all authentic friendships is built, and from a Christian perspective, with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because that is the foundation for friendship. If we know how to relate to Jesus on a personal level, it helps us learn how to relate to other people as well. Right, does that make sense to you? All right, and so maybe one way of looking at this is, how do we relate to Jesus then? Okay, what is our relationship with Jesus? How do we relate to Jesus on a personal level? Well, one way is by immersing ourselves in Scripture, especially the four Gospels. So we get to understand how Jesus lived and how he walked and what he taught and how his death and his resurrection impacts us. So there's an emotional engagement with the Word of God that allows us to feel and walk with Jesus. This is one of the reasons why every time after Christmas in our church, we go through what's called the lectionary, right? We actually pick passages from Advent through Easter that center around the life of Christ. Because the goal is to not just simply understand who Jesus is and what he taught, but to walk with him, to immerse ourselves in a journey with him. So that's what it's like to read, to get to know Jesus through Scripture. And there are other parts of the Bible that we should read and immerse ourselves in because it helps us understand who God is. So in the same way, a good relationship with a friend means immersing ourselves in that person's life. Really understanding who that person is. What is that person like? What are the interests? What are the dislikes? That's a very similar way of forming friendship. Another way in which we get to have our personal relationship with Jesus is through a spirit-driven prayer life. It's talking to Jesus as if he's real. Okay? Because he is, right? He's at the right hand of God, right? He's still alive today. So we can talk to him because he is there. He exists. He's not dead. He's available for you to talk to, even though you may not hear him orally, right? But he's around. So in the same way, when we have relationships with each other, we need to communicate. Okay, talk to people. And you know, one of the things that prevents friendships from growing is when we talk behind each other's backs, you know, and complain about our friends behind each their backs. Well, the simplest way to solve that problem is just to talk to our friends directly and treat that as if it's your prayer, okay? And a third way that our relationship with Jesus Christ can be extended to our relationship with friends is through Christian fellowship. We know more about Jesus when we hear other people's experience about Jesus. When we get together and share testimonies and go to small groups, Sunday school classes, those are places where we learn to hear what other Christians, what their experience with Jesus is all about. And as a result, this fellowship that we form helps us to get to know Jesus better. So it's not just a simply one-on-one relationship with Jesus, but it's a multiple relationship. We're all sort of in it together. It's kind of like a group. You have one-on-one friends, but you also have group friends, right? You have two different kinds of friends. The friends you go out to see movies together or to eat meals together, that's your group friends. That's sort of like a church. But then you do take people aside on a one-on-one basis, right, and talk to them. So that's what a church is for. Being part of a church allows us to understand Jesus through this group setting. All right, this is pretty simple, right? I don't think what I'm sharing is any really complicated, but it makes sense, I hope. So if anybody wants to go deeper, because Jerry and Mary White's book is pretty thick, and there's a lot of ideas there that I'm not sharing with you here. The book is called Friends and Friendships, The Secret of Drawing Near. And this is a book that contains a Bible study guide, and I hope that if you want to spend some time with me on it, I'll be happy to share excerpts of the book and actually study with you, okay? All right, so there we have it. This is a basic foundation for authentic Christian friendship. It's different from other forms of friendships because it's not as touch and go. This one takes effort and time and commitment. Okay? All right, now let's move on. There's one last thing I want to say before I do this exercise, okay? Is this. One more thing. The most distinctive thing about being a Christian and a friend who is a Christian is disciple making. Disciple making. Okay, let's review John 15 again. What did we learn there? That Jesus says that authentic friendships require personal sacrifice, obedience to Christ, transparency, and bearing fruit. Let's open up the bearing fruit piece a little bit. Okay? Friendships do not end with that personal satisfaction of being loved, being wanted and cared for, and hanging out with friends to eat, getting boba drinks, and checking out all the cool Asian restaurants. It doesn't end there. Okay? Nor does it end when we go to our small group meetings, do a little Bible study, do a little worship, and then pray for one another. It does not end there either. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to bear fruit. Specifically, we're called to make disciples. And that means if we're truly real friends of other, we have to help our friends to learn how to follow Jesus Christ closely, more closely each day. And it doesn't matter if they're Christians or not. Even if they're not Christians, the part of the goal is to help them find and follow Jesus Christ. All right, does that make sense to you? I mean, this is hard because it's kind of a nudgy thing. You sort of have to tell people to move in a certain direction. But authentic Christian friendships will not be afraid to nudge other people towards Jesus because of what Jesus means to us. Jesus is so important to each and every one of us because of our experiences of being saved in Christ, of having real friendships in our church, and then having a mission to change this world for the better. All of that comes from our faith in Jesus Christ. So it's okay to encourage other people to check that out. So an authentic friend is a disciple maker. And in your bulletin, in case you can't see, I have actually included an insert, which I hope you look at. If you don't have a bulletin, please get one when you get a chance to. We're going to be breaking off into groups in a moment. You see here there's a wheel, which I'm not going to go into detail now, but you can study this on your own when you have a chance to. This is called the five stages of discipleship. It's called a disciple-making wheel. And I want to introduce this to you so you can get an idea of what you're doing as you make friends as a Christian. We don't just hang out, okay? Hopefully that's not the end result of all that we do. Hang on, talk about the economy, complain about life. You know, I hope that what we're doing together is actually helping each other move through this circle, okay, through this wheel. Okay, so with authentic friends, we share the gospel by planting seeds. And you notice at the very top where the arrow points to the right, the first step is to share the gospel, and then if you go further down to the center, that describes the status of our friend that we're working with. They're dead. They're spiritually dead. Okay, these are people who have not embraced Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior in a real way. Their status is spiritually dead. It doesn't mean we're judging them. They're inferior because all of us used to be spiritually dead, but that's the status. Okay, and so we start by sharing the gospel, encouraging them to trust God, encouraging and planting seeds and trusting that God will bring a spiritually dead friend of ours to life. And if our friend accepts the gospel, she or he now becomes a spiritual infant. And as an authentic friend, we are called to help that person grow, okay? Because you don't just leave an infant by the side of the road. That would be very inhumane, wouldn't it? You don't leave an infant in a basket and leave it by the pastor's doorstep. You know, that's what a lot of people do. Here's my little baby friend. Here, take him. That doesn't work. What an authentic friend has to do is take responsibility for a new believer and help that person grow. And how do you help that person grow? And there's some ways there. By sharing the truth of Jesus, sharing habits, sharing our life. Okay, and as the infant grows and you share your life and with that person, you move to the next stage. That person then becomes a spiritual child. And when you get there, what happens? Then we start teaching the person how to relate to God, how to relate to a small group, and how to relate to God's purpose. Okay, and you can look at the whole wheel, and you can see this is exactly what I hope we think of when we're trying to mentor and help our friends grow in Christ, that we have this type of wheel in mind. Does that help? I'm just curious. Have you ever seen something like this before? Okay, if you haven't seen it, now you know. This is like a roadmap for helping each other grow as Christians. And if you can have this in mind and you apply this to your friendships, I think you'll make a much bigger difference in someone's life. Okay, let me stop there and do this exercise. And this exercise has to do with our upcoming English ministry retreat. So let me first share with you to see what this retreat's all about. Okay, so here's how we're going to start. Okay, so let's say that I'm trying to invite you to come to our retreat. And this is the question I'm going to ask you. Are you too busy to have satisfying relationships? Do you go to bed angry at your spouse or your parents, or both? Do you sometimes feel left out, unwelcome, or lonely? Are you frustrated with any of your relationships? If the answer is yes, which I'm sure it is for some of us, and for me too, do not despair. Because this August 26th to 28th, you will have a chance to overcome those frustrations at our retreat, our English ministry retreat, August 26th to 28th. This will be the first time in 3 years that just our English ministry will have a retreat. All right, and when it's only us, it allows us to really find each other. It's a lot easier. The last 2 years, we were at UC Santa Cruz, and we were scattered everywhere. It was really hard to find each other. But this time, it will just be us. And furthermore, this is the first time that that our youth are invited to join the entire retreat. And they have their own cabin, they have their own activities, but they'll also have time to mix it up with us older folks too. So this is the first time in 3 years that we're actually going to have something where just we get together, and therefore we can really get to know each other. So come to that retreat, because that will be really special. On Friday night, when you come, you will notice that Friday night will not be a heavy program. We're not going to have a speaker speak for 3 hours. Instead, no, we're never going to do that to you. We're going to have games, okay? We're going to have, wait, what happened? Come on, games. There we go, games. We're going to have games. We're going to have icebreakers. And we're going to have, well, what, here we go. Late night snacks. So you come, and you, even if you don't get dinner, because dinner will not be served, even if you don't bring dinner, we will bring some stuff there so you can eat and eat junk food and eat to your heart's desire. And then for those of you who are older like me who need a comfortable bed, there are comfortable beds in this retreat site. If you're a youth and you're in a different room, they're not as comfortable, but that's okay. Okay? Very nice accommodations. There are no bolted down seats in our meeting room. And you know, when we were at Santa Cruz, that we used classrooms where they had these big, heavy chairs that have the desk on top. You have it was really awkward. I didn't like that because we couldn't get up and move around. So we won't have any of those. We will have really good space to hang out together. And not only will the facilities be good, when you wake up Saturday, you're going to discover a really beautiful site. It's a very private location. I think we might be one of the only groups there. This is a fire pit, by the way, so we are planning to have a campfire night. Let me just go through the list of things we're going to do. All right, basketball. Yes, there's a basketball court, full court. Oh, did I miss one? Let me see. I think I skipped something here. All right, here we go. Yeah, here we go. Basketball court. Basketball, where are you? At least I'm not disconnecting. Here we go. Here's a whole list. A campfire, large group games, tetherball, horseshoes, ping pong, foosball. And there is a shot of the swimming pool. And next to the swimming pool is a sand volleyball court. And there's a climbing wall as well. So for all of you physically oriented folks, this is a great place to go. All right, because there will be lots of activities. There will also be hiking for those of us who are a little bit older. No, I'm just kidding. Hiking is for everybody. All right, so there may be some of us who want to do some hiking. And we do have a program. We do have guest speakers. But just to let you know what's going to happen, Basil, who was formerly a member of Canaan, will be coming to speak to the youth. He'll only have two messages to the youth on Saturday morning and Saturday evening. And he'll be preaching on Sunday for worship. My friend Dave Shinoda, who is also a marriage and family therapist and a pastor, will be coming, and he'll only come on Saturday morning to give a talk about what are the steps to building authentic love and care. And then all the rest of us as adults are going to be breaking off in different groups where we're going to spend a lot of time processing and learning from you. Not a lot, but a lot of time enough to do that, to talk about things like dating, marriage, how to enrich our relationships. If we just want to know how to deepen our friendships, we're going to have opportunities for different life stages to reflect on David's sharing. But the topics will be useful. It won't be overwhelmingly focused on teaching, but you will get significant teaching and opportunities to help build friendships with one another and relationships. So I hope that you come. You really come. You've come away with very practical ways to build strong, authentic relationships in your families, at work, and in our church. This is a really important retreat. I have to stress it. It's so important because we need to do this as a church. We're too scattered in our English ministry. We need to get to know each other better. So register by July 30th. Otherwise, you won't be able to get the early bird discount. Okay? So you can go on to canaanem.org and register. Okay, now the exercise. And our time is almost up, so I hope this works. I like for us to break off into different life stage discussion groups. Okay? I like the youth to sort of hang out in this corner. Anyone under 35 in the middle, anyone over 35 on this side. Now, if you are a parent with little children, you have the option to go into the youth room and hang out with the other parents with young children, okay? So there are these four groups, right? Let me just make sure I list them up here, okay? So there are three groups, but actually four. The fourth group is if you want to hang out with other parents with little children, you can go to that room. These are not hard divisions. You don't have to go to the group that you feel you have to go to. But when you go into these groups, I'd like for you to do this. Okay? talk about how at this retreat, first of all, let everyone know if you're coming. And even if you're not coming, talk about how you can turn this retreat into an opportunity to make awesome, authentic relationships with your peers at this retreat. And spend 5 minutes doing that. Then come back in 5 minutes. We'll wrap it up and we'll finish up our worship service. Okay? Can you do that? Any questions before we break up? Okay. Okay, youth here, young, under 35 here, over 35 here, and parents with little kids in that room. Let's go. Let's go. I'll give you 5 minutes to chat. 35 and under here, in the middle, over 35 there, but, you know, go with the group that you're most comfortable with. Just so there's no confusion, even if you're not coming to the retreat, we want you to give input. Okay, there's not a hard line there. So if you're over 35 but you feel more comfortable with the under 35 group, that's fine. If you're under 35 and you feel more comfortable with another group, that's fine. Okay, go for it. I'll give you 4 more minutes just to make a list of things we can do at the retreat to build authentic, awesome relationships with our peers. I'll give you just 2 more minutes, okay? Keep on making that list. I want to hear it. Feel free to consult with your insert, 5 stages of discipleship and friendship. Okay, you can stay where you are, although it would be nice if somebody could represent the folks who are in the cry room, can come out and share what they talked about. In fact, here they come. So could Chris or Bob share just quickly a few of the things you talked about? And then we'll just ask each group to share very quickly. Okay. Now, what did you guys talk about? Can you summarize very quickly any suggestions from your group? Can you come up here so that they can, I'm sorry. Yeah.
We were saying that as parents of young children, you don't have a lot of time, so actually just being there and being able, already kind of hits the time check mark, and then actually making the effort to spend time with other people rather than just with your kids, that will be the steps we can take.
Okay. Fantastic. Exactly. So to treat this like a date trip. By the way, this summer, I'm hoping we can set up some date nights for our parents with kids. Okay, let's go to the youth. Anyone from the youth want to share some ideas from you? Come up and speak to the mic. They're all pointing to Maggie for some reason.
So we all talked about like activities, like bonding through the activities, and earlier the slide said like, volleyball, swimming, foosball, et cetera, et cetera. So because we're so active and we like to play, it'd be nice to like include everyone when we play games.
And there will be plenty of time for that. Thank you, Maggie. I heard rumors that there's going to be a basketball contest or volleyball challenge between youth and adults. I'm making rumors. Okay, let's go to our under 35 group. Anyone want to just speak up and share? I know you have a variety of smaller groups, but please come up and speak to the mic.
So we decided that, obviously the only way to do it is to really let down our barriers and just open ourselves up to one another and talk about the things that we just don't share in any other opportunities. And that's the only way we can truly connect. And it really helps that there's adult refreshments there to break down those bonds.
You're talking about Perrier? Okay, so that's your challenge, under 35ers. Got to create that environment. We'll put you in charge of the drinks. Okay, and I think there are two or three groups here. Anyone want to just sort of share quickly? Please come on up. We don't have that much time. I know. Yeah.
Just very quickly, Frank, let's go. Come on. just to be able to spend time together as a group, I think in terms of opening up more, deeper sharing, I think a lot of the parents with kids would want us to get to know people, the youth, right, the young adults better, and we're looking forward to that opportunity.
So I think in our group, we brought up the point that it's a battle you cannot win, and therefore the real way to go is actually to make more meaningful friendships. More friendship with more people is not more doable. It's actually not doable. You can't be friends with everyone, right? So the way to go is actually to find the right people to be friends with, for some definition of the right people.
So Frank, are you saying that when you go to the retreat, you have to be selective about who you talk to, right? Yeah. Okay. The theory I'm going to propose to all of you is that when you get to this retreat, everybody's the right person. That's another practical issue, Frank, that we're going to be talking about in future sermons when we reach capacity of social friendships. Okay? All right, great. Thank you all for sharing. I hope that you feel encouraged to consider coming to the retreat. The deadline to register is June 30th for the early bird registration. After that, the prices go up $10. And we really want everybody in this room to register. I forgot to mention that also if you have children, there will also be a children's program there. So for some of you who are worried about having to have your carry your kids everywhere, the kids will have their own place to go for a program, okay? So we've Stanley and Vincent and Shirley and Eve have made a strong effort to make this a retreat really friendly for everyone. Okay? All right. Can we get to our I'm going to basically move to the closure. Again, remind you, register by 30th, okay? You don't have to pay until after the 30th. All right. Can we now turn our attention to closing our message today with a reminder that, really, friendships depend largely on how much investment you want to make. And Frank is right. We can't make friends with everyone. I have 1,500 Facebook friends. I'm not BFFs with every one of them. So we have to be selective, and I'm hoping that you will choose Canaan's English Ministry Retreat as a place where you can make BFFs and be friends. Because if you can do that here, then it will help strengthen your faith and it will strengthen us as a church. Let's go to our closing prayer. I have it up on our next set of slides. Okay, as soon as we switch over. Thank you, Brian and Timothy. Oh, what happened to those slides? Did they disappear? They're not showing up? There we go. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, can you all join me in the prayers of the people? Let us pray together. You have blessed us, O God, with the gift of friendship, the bonding of persons in a circle of love. Who need us as we need them, who weep as we weep, who hold us when words fail, and who give us the freedom to be ourselves. Bless our friends with health, wholeness, life, and love. In Christ's name, amen. I'd like to invite the praise band to come up and move us into the next part of our worship.
All right. Why don't we go ahead, and if you guys would please stand, and we're going to continue to worship God.